This is it. Don't get scared now. Welcome to the party, pal, because it is turbo time here on the Midwestern Nerds podcast, a special holiday edition of the Midwestern Nerds. I am your host, Brian Stoffel, joined as always by my co-host, my partner in crime, my co-pilot,
K.O. Kyle Olson.
We are the Midwestern Nerds. That's MIDWESTERNERDS. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter while it's still around at Midwestern Nerds. We are the Midwestern Nerds podcast on Facebook. If you'd like to send us an email, you can send that to MidwesternNerds@gmail.com. We are not on any other social media like Mastodon. So if you're looking for us there, you're not going to find us. But you can find and stream and listen to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, and wherever you listen and stream your podcasts. This week, we're going to celebrate the holiday season, and we're going to do a little bit of a Christmas theme. We haven't really done like a Christmas-based themed episode since our first season of the Midwesterners podcast way back in 2020. I think it was 2020 the last time we did the Christmas episode. So it's been a couple years. Kyle wasn't on board full time during that, so he didn't get to participate in our holiday talk. He got to edit that episode, though, which was pretty exciting.
I'm the one who put the jingle music in the intro.
Which I'm going to leave it up to you to put that jingle music back in the intro again this week. So if you didn't hear it somewhere, if you didn't hear it, folks, you know who to reach out to in anger.
But Howard J. Dinger's on Twitter.
But don't do that. It's the holiday season, that special time of year. Let's talk about all things nerdy, Midwestern nerdy, as far as Christmas goes. I know we kind of did that on the first episode, but like I said, we got you here now, Kyle. So let's start off. Tell our audience one of the best Christmases that you had, or like some memorable Christmas moments from the KO past.
Wow. Okay, man, some interest. I mean, nothing too crazy. I think the best one was probably, okay, one does come to mind. So the year, I couldn't tell you what year, but whatever the year that the Wii came out, my parents forgot what order that we should open the presents, right? Because obviously, they got us the system and a couple games.
Yep.
So we opened a game first. No, we opened like the accessories first. So it was the funniest thing. So we open up like this thing, this long, tall box, and we open it up, and it's like Wii remote holders for like a tennis racket and a baseball bat and something else. So we all like, obviously we open that. We all start freaking out. We were super excited, and which was fine because all Wiis came with Wii Sports. The next one that we opened, I think we found the Wii next and we opened that one. But then the next one that we opened with that was a steering wheel. So we all freaked out. Well, all three of us were like, holy shit, we got Mario Kart 2. Where is it? So we're like trying to find the fucking Mario. They didn't buy Mario Kart. They only bought the steering wheel because they thought there was a racing game. So yes. Like for like 5-10 minutes, we were so sad that we didn't get Mario Kart, but then we started playing Wii Sports and we got a lot out of that. I mean, Wii Sports was, everyone knows how big that was. We played the shit out of it. Bowling was my thing. I was an expert bowler.
I was gonna say, my sister got a Wii, I think for her birthday, and the only game, well, I shouldn't say the only game, 98% of that system was used for Wii Sports. And it was the most annoying thing in the world because it was like, it was my sister's Wii, but it was kind of like the family's Wii at the same time.
Yeah.
And of course, since my sister got it for her birthday, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, oh, I can get Mario Kart, I can get Smash Bros, like I can get all these games. She's like, that's my Wii. That's not yours. So you can't get any of those games for it.
That's lame.
And the only thing that she ever used that Wii for, other than Wii Sports, was she did the Wii Fit for like a month.
Yeah.
And then otherwise it just sat there.
Yeah.
And the only times it ever came out was Christmas or the holidays when the whole family's around and we did the same thing. It was mostly bowling.
Yep.
Occasionally we would branch out a little bit and do some golf.
Yep.
Or some tennis.
Yep.
And that was about it.
The boxing gets very intense. My dad for a short period was using the boxing as a genuine workout, to like, you know, just to get a sweat and get active. We play a lot of baseball was played as well until Mario Super Sluggers came out. And we, again, played the absolute shit out of that game. That game is so much fun. I hope they come out with a version for the Switch. And Spider-Man Friend or Foe was my other like favorite game on that. So much fun.
I wish that Mama and Papa Olson would have went a little savage and got you all the accessories and maybe like one really good game. And then would have been like, well, we didn't get you a Wii, but you all can work really hard and save up your allowance to buy this system. Oh, that would have been so great.
That would have been something. Yeah.
That reminds me of one of my most memorable Christmases. And it's weird. I feel like all of my most memorable Christmases involve video games in some fashion or another, which is really weird because I'm not the biggest gamer in the world and I never really had a whole lot of systems growing up. But the year that I found out that Santa Claus isn't real, spoilers for any children listening to this podcast, the year I found that out was the year I got the Game Boy Advance. And my dad did the same thing that your parents did. Gave me a box and I opened it up and it had like four or five Game Boy Advance games in there. And I was so confused. I was like, this is cool, but like, I don't have a Game Boy. I can't play these. And then he was like, oh shit, I gave you the wrong box. Same thing. Opened it up, Game Boy Advance. I lost my shit. I had Spider-Man, Mysterio's Menace or something like that. Like Mysterio was the main boss in that game, but it was like a Spider-Man game for the Game Boy Advance. Pretty good game for a Game Boy Advance. Like I loved that game. And I think that was one of the ones that I played the most, but after Christmas presents are all open and everything, and we're all off doing our own thing. Like I'm sitting on the floor in the living room. I'm playing Spider-Man on my new Game Boy Advance. My uncle comes over and my dad and my uncle are talking. And then my dad said something really stupid. I don't know how this came up or how he even like what gave him the urge to say this, but he said, I hope you enjoy that because I had to put in a lot of overtime to buy that. And I was like, I thought I got this from Santa.
Oh no.
which honestly, not that bad of a thing because my grandparents, like my grandpa, every year would do the thing where he'd dress up as Santa, you know, he'd knock on the window and like run around the house, like that kind of stuff. This is embarrassing, but I'm sure we're back up to seven. I'm sure our faithful seven won't judge me too hard when I say I was in fifth grade. Like I was borderline, a little over that borderline of too old to still believe in Santa.
Yeah.
But I did because Grandpa would knock on the window. And the one year I think he must have had the dog with him because like there were animal tracks next to like Santa's footprints out in the snow. I was like, he had the reindeer and everything. And no, that was Grandpa dressing up as Santa. So
I guess I don't remember ever, but I don't think we ever had anyone who dressed up and did anything like that. Obviously they ate the cookies and drank half the milk and, you know, did that kind of stuff, filled the stockings. And my biggest question for my parents, I remember when I still believed in Santa, was always, well, we don't have a fireplace. So how does he come in? But then I do remember the Santa Claus actually did answer that question for me at one point.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, yeah, absolutely. I don't remember exactly what age that I learned that either, but it was like a gradual thing where, like, you know, a couple kids at school had let it slip and I didn't quite believe them or, you know, whatever. But then all of a sudden one night, because we always had Christmas Eve with grandma at her house, and then we come home and we'd sleep, or sometimes we'd stay at grandma's house and we'd sleep over there so that mom and dad can, you know, be Santa, and then we'd go back home for Christmas morning. But for some reason this time we stayed home. I must have had too much soda or something. I couldn't fall asleep. I had to go down to use the bathroom, and I walked downstairs and they're wrapping presents, and I was like, yep, okay, I got this, kind of made sense. That's all right. It was a very, like, weirdly mature thing. And then I just walked down. I was like, yeah, all right, this is what it is.
Yeah, I was the really annoying kid that at Christmas, like around Christmas time at school, everybody was like, all the kids at this point, you know, like third, fourth grade, they're like, yeah, Santa Claus is real. And I was just like, no, he is real. Like, I was that annoying kid. So yes. It's no wonder why sixth grade rolls around and, like, I'm the outcast, because they're probably like, this fucking nerd still believes in Santa Claus. And
yeah. He had hope as a child.
Yeah. So that was the one memorable Christmas. Nice. Again, video games plays a part.
Mm-hmm.
The most memorable Christmas was the Christmas that I got the original Xbox. Because at this point, like, that was my first major game system.
All right.
And the only major game system I had for a extremely long time. Like, video games growing up was the Windows 98, my Game Boy Advance, the Xbox, my laptop in college, and then in 2017, the Switch.
And your sister's Wii.
Yeah, my sister's Wii. So video games, like, weren't huge for me, which is why, again, it's funny that my most memorable Christmases, video games are pretty prevalent in it. But it was the year that I got the original Xbox, and it was like 2 weeks before Christmas. One morning, I wake up, going to the kitchen before school, like, to get some breakfast, and sitting by the front door, we have like a big entryway, like, that's kind of in the living room of my parents' house between, like, the back bedrooms and the kitchen. So got to walk past the front door to get to the kitchen. In the entryway by the front door, this giant box, like, dad wrapped it in a refrigerator box, threw like 8-12 packs of soda on the bottom to weigh it down, and, like, stuffed it with newspaper. Like, you couldn't move that thing. He got up in the middle of the night and wrapped this thing when everyone was asleep. So, like, everyone woke up in the morning, 2 weeks before Christmas, this giant fucking box is sitting by the door. And everybody's like, what's this? Like, who's it for? Dad's like, I don't know. Mom didn't know at all. And my sister didn't know. So, like, nobody knows but dad, and he's not budging. So for 2 weeks, that thing is just taunting us in the doorway. We're all just sitting there like, what the hell is in this box? You open up presents. It's like, and dad's like, oh, that was a good Christmas, you know, like, Merry Christmas. And then there's me that's been chomping at the bit for 2 weeks being like, there's still a box. There's still this giant box. What is in this? So he goes on this big speech. I don't remember. Does this big speech about this box that's been sitting in the living room for 2 weeks by the front door. Finally, he's like, Brian, it's yours. And I just fucking lost it. I went nuts. Just tearing all this paper off, throwing the newspaper up like it's freaking confetti out of this box. Boom. There it is, the Xbox. And just went crazy. Like, that was probably my best, most memorable Christmas, was the fact that, like, this big old box taunts everybody for 2 weeks, And since nobody knew except for Dad who it was for, like, it could have been anybody. It could have been mom. It could have been for mom. It could have been for my sister. So that was probably my most memorable.
That's super cool. I like that.
Any other memorable Christmases you want to touch on before we jump to the next topic?
Not really. We had a few fun traditions where, like, you know, at Grandma and Grandpa's house, for a while there, while all the cousins were still little, they would have like this big present out on the porch. And as you walk in, everyone kind of guessed what it was. And it was like a guessing game. And you got an extra present if you got it right or something. And ended up being like a big fan. Like, I think they probably did it for a couple of years right in a row so that every family got a big present, because our family got a big basketball hoop from them, like a portable one that we could put out in the driveway. Nice. So that was super cool. That was a really fun tradition. I remember that one. And with that same grandma, grandpa, this is on Dad's side, we would do our white elephant gift thing, but like we had we made it into a dice game where everyone just brings, you know, random presents that aren't specifically for anyone. You put them in the middle and you have two sets of dice in like a bowl and you roll, you pick a number, you know, sometimes it was 3, 2, 4, whatever. And if you roll that number, you go in a circle. And if you roll that number, you get to pick the present. Everyone picks their present. And then once everyone has a present, you open them up one by one so that everyone sees what all the gifts are. And then you set a timer for 15 minutes and you do the same thing. And once you roll a number, you get to switch. So for 15 minutes, it's just people getting pissed because they want one or two things. It is the most fun. The best year was me and my brother fighting over this one specific thing. I can't remember what it was. I think it was like this really, really cheap, like, remote control flying thing. Like, it was like, he may have gotten a day out of playing with it, but we were trading back and forth. And at the last second, literally they were doing the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I rolled the number and the clock ended. So I was like, I get whatever gift I want. And I looked at my brother and I was like, and I had like a fucking tool set or something like that. And as a kid, that's not something you fuck. So I'm just like, I looked at my brother and he literally gave me like the most sad, like, no, please, no. And so I was like, I'm taking it. And he was so sad afterwards. I felt so bad. I gave it back to him and took whatever it was. And like I said, I think we got like a day out of playing with it. Like, it was nothing special, but some of those were just so much fun. It was also cool if you, because I always, with those kind of gift exchange, I always try to bring something that I might want, because then, you know, you don't want to just bring a random crappy thing that you find at the dollar store. So it's always fun to see who ends up wanting your gift the most. Sometimes I went home with the gift that I brought because I liked it the most, you know. It was always a fun game. Those are always the best memories when you can make it a competition with your family.
We would play that game for the camp reunions when I worked at camp.
Oh, nice.
We'd have the Christmas reunions, and it was the same thing with the white elephant. And I remember the first year that we did it, everybody brought like crap because we're all poor college kids and it's white elephant. And I don't remember who it was, but somebody gifted or brought the Man of Steel on DVD and like a giant box of chocolate covered raisins, because he was like, he's like, I fucking hate raisins, and this movie to me is the raisins of superhero movies. It's like, he thought that it was the worst movie in the world, The Man of Steel on DVD. So that's what he brought for White Elephant. And that ended up being like one of the top ones that everybody was trying to steal. I don't remember. It was two different numbers for us that we would roll with the dice, because we had like two sets that you'd pass off in different directions. And I want to say it was 7 and 11, but I'm not 100%. Sure, like I don't really remember, but I remember if you rolled those, regardless if you had a present that you wanted or not, you had to switch. Ooh. If you rolled that, so like there would be people that would have like the really good gift and they'd be like just sweating as they're rolling, because they're like, I don't want to roll like a 7 or an 11, otherwise I gotta give this up and take something else.
Damn, I like that.
For my girlfriend's family Christmas, what they do is her parents used to have like a factory job. They're both retired now, but back when they were working that, they'd take the giant rolls of Saran wrap and they'd make Saran wrap balls, and they'd wrap like like booze and like lottery tickets and like little trinkets for the kids and that. And like you would get timed and you had to like unroll the thing. And as soon as like something rolled off, then you had to pass it, like would fly out of the ball. You'd have to pass it around. And
wow,
it was a lot of fun. So we've shared some touching holiday stories, but you're all here probably being like, we're here for Midwestern Nerds content. We're here for the nerd content. So we're not gonna go all Scrooge and bah humbug on you. We'll give you some presents. Kyle, since we talk about a lot of things that we watch on this podcast, we talk about all the movies and all the TV shows that we watch. What are some of your favorite go-to holiday movies, TV, whatever, that you go to watch around Christmas time?
Die Hard. That's number one on the list. And yes, it is a Christmas movie. That debate is open and shut. Yeah, no, Die Hard's one of my favorites. I only just watched it like 2 or 3 years ago for the first time, but I fell in love with it instantly. I've watched it every year since, sometimes multiple times. Yes, top of the list.
It's a must watch on my holiday viewing list too. I had it on, like I had all the Die Hards on DVD a while back. And what's funny is I've only ever watched the first one.
Yep.
And I remember like I had the 5-pack that's got all 5 of them in it. And I sold it because I was like, now that this was quite a while ago, because I was like, I have a Blu-ray player now. DVDs are garbage. Like, I'll upgrade the Blu-ray. And after I sold it, every Christmas since then, it's been on some stream or another, either Netflix or Amazon Prime or Hulu or something like that. It's not streaming anywhere right now.
What?
So I had to go on Amazon and buy the 5-pack Blu-rays. And again, now I have all 5 again. And will I ever watch the other 4? Maybe someday, but probably not. It'll probably just be Die Hard every Christmas.
Yep.
It is. It's a Christmas classic. Is it a full-on Christmas movie? No. But does it take place at Christmas? And are there Christmas-related events and themes that go throughout the movie? Absolutely.
It's about a man who's like fighting to save his marriage and his to build his relationship with his family. Like that's such a Christmas story.
While also trying to save his wife and all of her co-workers from hostages.
Yes.
At a Christmas party.
Correct. Yeah, that's definitely top of the list. As far as other ones, I don't really watch a lot of the TV specials anymore. You know, obviously as a kid, you watch, you know, the original Grinch Stole Christmas and the Charlie Brown and the Peanuts Christmas and Rudolph and Frosty and all those. I don't really watch those anymore. Definitely Elf is probably number 2 on the list, like way top tier. Absolutely love Buddy the Elf. Jim Carrey's The Grinch is my Grinch. That movie is phenomenal. And yeah, other than that, I mean, now the Guardians holiday special too, that'll be an annual watch for me.
There you go. For me, definitely Die Hard is up there. I've grown to like Jim Carrey's Grinch more and more as the years go on. And it's kind of telling that I find him to be more and more relatable. And I'm like, am I just a Grinch as well?
5 o'clock, wallow in self-pity.
Yes. Yes, so that one's been on there. Elf has been on there. There's a lot of those movies that my girlfriend loves. So, like, they're not my favorite movies, but, like, I still enjoy watching a lot of those movies. So, like, I don't put up a fight when Christmas time comes around. And it's like, all right, let's pull out the Christmas movies. Definitely go-to for us is Home Alone.
Yes.
Which is where the start of the intro came from, the "This is it. Don't get scared now" when he's got all the booby traps set up for the wet bandits come and break in. So definitely that one. I really like the second one too, but my girlfriend gets really stubborn with some of these franchises where she's like, nope, there was only ever one. I don't care what universe you live in where there's sequels. I don't care about those. And it's like, but what if it's really good? She's like, I don't care. I don't like it. And I'm like, have you ever watched it? Nope, but I don't like it. Okay. So I really like the second Home Alone, but I haven't watched it in years. It's not a movie that where if I have like a night or an afternoon to myself, I'm not gonna like pop that in. I'll probably watch something else. But I do really enjoy that one. Elf, I've really grown to love. My girlfriend loves Gremlins, which also takes place around Christmas time. So we actually just watched that one last night. And it's only my second time ever watching that movie. That movie is more adult than I think people remember it being. It came out in a time when PG-13 wasn't a thing. And some of the stuff in that movie is like hard PG-13. Some of the ways that some of the gremlins get killed, like one gets stuffed in a microwave and explodes.
That'd be so scarring.
There are people that die in that movie. There are legit some scenes, rewatching it last night, where I was like, if I was a child watching this, I would be terrified right now of these fucking green gremlin creepy things. But that's one that we watch around Christmas time. My number one go-to Christmas movie, though, and it's become a tradition where even if I don't see him around Christmas time, there was the one 2020 when COVID was the big thing. My best friend, brother from another mother, oldest friend, our first guest on this podcast ever, in episode 2, Dr. Stone, Jonathan Jazz Stone. This has become a yearly tradition where we watch it together, whether or not we're in the same location or not. And that would be Jingle All the Way with Arnold. It's turbo time. Love, love, love that movie. I loved that movie before I had like a weird thing, like a weird guilty pleasure with Arnold, just because like he's funny in all of his movies, and the majority of the time I don't think it's on purpose, but it's there and it's hilarious. He's the king of the one-liners, and he shows up in this Christmas movie where he's a shitty father, doesn't give his kid a whole lot of time, so he thinks that he can win back his kid by getting him the coolest Christmas present of all, the Turbo Man doll. He waits till Christmas Eve to go out to the stores to try to find it. Chaos ensues. He's got his little rivalry with Myron, the mailman, played by Sinbad, who's also a shitty father, trying to get his kid this Turbo Man doll. Love, 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 love that movie. Watch it every year for Christmas. It's Die Hard, it's Jingle All the Way. Like, those are the two that are the must watches. And now, this year, I'm going to be giving you a bonus best off this week. There is a third movie that's now hit that list of must-watch Christmas movies. This movie, surprisingly, is one of my favorite movies that came out this year. Didn't think that was going to be a thing, but I loved and had a phenomenal time watching Violent Night, the the David Harbour Santa Claus movie, which is David Harbour, he's Santa Claus, he's delivering presents on Christmas Eve, he's losing faith in Christmas, and he's thinking that this Christmas might be the last one because the world is a shitty place. And kids are just greedy little bastards that all that they want is cash and video games. And they just want the next thing. And he makes this big monologue about kids today. And it felt very fitting for just people in general in the world of 2022. So Drunk Santa is delivering presents on Christmas Eve. He goes to deliver presents to this mansion that is being held hostage because these mercenaries are trying to steal $300 million that are locked away in this vault that's in their basement of this mansion. And Santa has to save not only the little girl of the family, but save the family and save Christmas. This movie was awesome. This was Die Hard meets the Santa Claus. If you've watched the trailers and you think, damn, this movie looks fun, this movie looks awesome, the trailers definitely do not disappoint. This movie is a hard R. There are kills in this movie that I was like, holy crap, what am I watching? They went here. When David Harbour's Santa Claus himself is ho-ho-ho-ing at the destruction that he's causing, it is phenomenal. They build up a backstory of what Santa did before he decided to deliver presents to the girls and boys. There's a... I'm not really giving that a whole lot away because I want everybody to experience this movie. But there's one point in the movie where he gets hurt and he has to patch himself up and Santa goes shirtless. And you see the sight that you see is like, oh damn, yeah. this is a Santa.
Oh my goodness.
This movie is awesome. This movie is absolutely awesome. I'm going to buy it as soon as it comes out on 4K, and this will sit on the shelf between Die Hard and Jingle All the Way as must watch every Christmas. I highly recommend, if you're going out to the theater to see Avatar and all the showings are all sold out because everybody's losing their freaking minds over Avatar again. 2009 called, they want their pop culture back. If you're going to the theater, you can't see Avatar because all the tickets are sold out. You will not be disappointed if you buy a ticket and quote unquote stick with Violent Night. I guarantee you, you're going to have a hell of a time. It's a blast. Love this movie. I'm not lying. It's not recency bias when I say this is one of my favorite movies that I watched this year. I genuinely had that good of a time watching this movie.
I've heard nothing but the same. I had a coworker this morning when I walked into work say, "Oh my God, have you seen this movie?" And I said, "No, but it's high on my list. I'm gonna try to hit the theater this week before I drive home for the holidays." But yeah, I absolutely cannot wait. From the moment I saw the trailer, it was like, yeah, I need to see this movie.
That trailer reminds me of the first John Wick trailer for like the first movie, okay, where everybody was like, this trailer was incredible. This movie looks like it could be really good, but this movie also looks like it could go south pretty quick. That's kind of what the Violent Night trailer looked like, where mm-hmm. It was like, this trailer makes this movie look like it could be really good. And this is one of those movies too, where like it's kind of gimmicky, the premise.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes those kind of movies, like, the joke only works for that 2.5 minute trailer. And after that, it's like, all right, this joke's like getting old pretty fast. And this movie really isn't that great. That's not this movie. Like, this movie knows what it is. And it's like, I'm going to own it all the way to the credits and then some.
That's awesome. Can't wait.
So that'll be it for our Christmas festive theme, unless there's anything else, Kyle, that you want to spread for cheer to our audience at this special time of year. Any Christmas music that you listen to? Any go-to Christmas music?
I do actually have my own Christmas playlist. Recently, obviously, the old 97s are on it, from the two songs from the Guardian special. Those are on the top of the playlist. I never saw the new Grinch movie, the animated one with Benedict Cumberbatch. But Tyler, the Creator, has a very good rendition of the Grinch that I listen to. If you're a fan of rapper Tyler, the Creator,
I've heard that movie's pretty decent.
Like,
I haven't seen it either, but I've heard a lot of people say that like it's surprisingly better than people thought that it would be. So,
oh yeah, 303 also put out a Christmas song, I believe 2 years ago, called Kistletoe, and it's just, I don't know. It's just one of my guilty pleasure songs. It's a very good one.
Nice.
Yeah. But then it's just full of, you know, the usual Jingle Bell Rock, you know, All I Want for Christmas, all that fun stuff. I enjoy Christmas music. As a man who works in retail and has to listen to Christmas music all day, every day, it can get old, but I'd still love Christmas music. I'm one of those people who Christmas for me starts November 1st and I celebrate for 2 months straight. That's me. You're one of them. I am one of them. Yep. I try to get jolly for 2 out of the 12 months that we have this year. I'm winding up towards the end of my Christmas joy here.
Nice. I also have a Christmas playlist on Spotify. My Christmas list is titled BS Christmas because my initials BS, Brian Stoffel.
Mine is called Ho Ho Howard J. Dingers.
Nice. Nice. I have a lot of music in my Christmas list. For a guy who also worked retail long enough to hate Christmas music for a while, I branched out and found like somewhat obscure Christmas music, or like, hey, let's take this really like classic Christmas song and give it a new twist and a new spin. Some of that being like the Punk Goes Christmas albums. You're getting some punk rock musicians and their takes on the Christmas music. August Goes Red, they are a metal band and they have 2 Christmas albums where it's very family friendly in the sense of they just do the instrumentals for all the Christmas songs, but it's like heavy metal versions of all the Christmas classics. That's another go-to that's on here. A joke that was in the Into the Spider-Verse movie of Spider-Man doing a Christmas album. They actually released 5 Christmas songs for that movie.
Really?
And it's got like the whole voice cast like doing these Christmas songs and giving them like a Spider-Man twist, like the Spidey bells, and there's up on the housetop, instead of it being Santa Claus, it's a good old Spider-Man saving the city for the girls and boys. There's a reading of The Night Before Christmas by the guy who does like the 60s Spider-Man voice, and he's like reading it as like a Spider-Man like Night Before Christmas.
That's pretty cool.
Comical. It's pretty great. Those have been getting a lot of listens to lately, and I'll agree. I love Christmas music as well. I got a lot of like the old classics on there too. All of like a chunk of like the Pentatonix stuff. And
Pentatonix actually is one with AJR. I think it's Winter Wonderland. That's actually a pretty good one. I like that one.
So all of the good stuff. Before we wrap this up, we got to jump into our best stuff recommendations of the week. KO, you said that you had one that you've been holding off to the side. You've been keeping it in your holster for a couple weeks. Why don't you kick us off?
I'm now potentially thinking that I may have brought this up before, but Brian can tell me if I have. I don't think I have. I found it. I sound so pretentious. I found an artist on Spotify. I was pretty early on his TikTok page, so I feel like I found him before he became big. He has become big this year. He was, I believe, in my top 5 on Spotify rap this year. So I'm pretty big into him. His name is Connor Price, and he's just a white guy rapping, but the way he promotes himself and the way he makes his music, and it's all different. He doesn't just make one certain kind of rap. He makes a bunch of different styles. He kind of tries to make songs for everyone. Like a lot of people, he put out a really popular one pretty recently, and a bunch of people are like, oh, make more songs like this. And it's like, just keep listening to that one. If you like that one so much, just keep listening to that one. You know, eventually I'll make more like that. But he just makes so much different kind of music. The way he can rap, I mean, I'm just a big fan of him, especially recently. One of his newest trends on TikTok, I would say, is like he started doing this thing where he literally just spun a globe, fucking pointed his finger at a random country and would find an up-and-coming artist in that country, and he did a collab with them, and he did this whole thing, and he put out big songs, and he would promote the songs huge, and the first one absolutely blew up, and then the second, I mean, he's done like 5 or 6 now, and like it's super cool because obviously, yes, he's gaining a lot from these songs being big too, but like the artists that he's actually promoting have their social media impressions have just flew just risen so high. Like some of them have gone from barely being noticed to like actually pretty big deals, especially in our home countries, which is it's just been a super cool thing to do. And like I said, the music itself is really good too. So Connor Price, definitely check him out. He's an up and coming guy. He's I think now starting to hit that mainstream where a lot of people are starting to know who he is. And I'm proud to say that I've been with him since the beginning.
Nice. My best stuff, I thought going into the weekend, I thought it was going to be Violent Night. I thought I was going to save that for my best stuff. But actually, the unexpected happened. I got to see two brand new movies this weekend in the theater instead of just one. I thought it was just going to be the one. And I was like, it's Christmas time. We got to see Violent Night. So those are what we saw on Friday. And Saturday, we did a double date with some friends, and we went and saw The Menu. It's a psychological thriller that's about this chef that has this restaurant like off on this island, and he's like so renowned that like only like a certain type of people are allowed to like experience his dining. And by a certain type of people, it's like the rich people, the people who can afford to go out. So these people go out to this island, and they go to experience an 8-course meal by this chef. And each course has a different story or a different theme. And things seem normal at first, and then they quickly start to go awry. And things aren't quite what the patrons of this restaurant are expecting. Twists come out, not just about the chef, but about some of the customers as well, some of the people that are going for this experience. And it's a lot different than what I thought the movie was going to be, because the trailer definitely set this movie up to be, I thought that like the chef and like his kitchen staff were going to be like hunting down the people that were attending this restaurant, and like they were going to be what was served. Like that's kind of how the trailers like set it up, because there's one course in the 8-course where certain people get chased. That's like part of the experience, and the trailer very much focuses on that. And so I thought that like that was gonna be the whole thing in the movie, and it is not. It gets pretty dark. But this movie has a lot of like really dark humor. Like there are things that are going on in this movie where you're just like, oh my gosh. But then there's like something that somebody says, or like, oh yeah, like some people would like either say something that would be like, it would just be like, what? Like as all this dark stuff is going on, or just like the situation would be dark in and of itself, but like, there would be like a ridiculous level to it where it's just like, what? Like, this is really happening. So like it was good. The people that I went with, it was funny. So it was a double date with my girlfriend's best friend and her significant other, and her best friend was the one that was like, hey, let's go to the movies. And I was like, well, like we saw Violent Night last night, and I was like, the only other movie that I'd kind of want to see is The Menu. And then she was like, oh, I saw the trailers for that. That looks interesting. And I've been talking to my girlfriend about it, and so she was on board. Her significant other had no clue what kind of movie we were going to. Oh, he was just kind of along for the ride. And this is, he's a man's man, you know, he's a welder. He's bald, he's got the big like biker beard and everything. Yep. And I was just like, and the movie starts with like one of the main characters talking about like the art and technique of like, and the craftsmanship of like the top of the art like chefs and all this stuff, and I was just like, Oh my gosh, this guy's probably sitting here being like, what the fuck kind of movie did they drag me to? Like this pretentious, like snooty, like foodie movie. And it kind of feels like that for like the first like 15, 20 minutes. But then like, I think it's the second course. Like something happens where you're just like, what? Did that just happen where even the people that are like dining at this restaurant are like, it's part of the experience, right? Like that's some great effects that they did. Like, I can't believe how real that looked. And it's just like, nope, that happened. And they quickly learned that like, oh, this is not what we expected this evening to be. And so it's good. I would highly recommend checking it out. It's a movie where I enjoyed it in the theater, but I don't think it's like a must go to like theater experience. Like I think once it hits, like, I think it's a Searchlight picture. So it'd probably be like Hulu or like Prime or something like that. Once it gets to one of those, I would recommend if you don't want to go out to the theater, if you're dying to see other movies like Avatar or Violent Night, I don't think you need to put the menu before those. So, but nonetheless, like I said, it's a great movie. I had a good time with it. The big biker dude even enjoyed it. He was like, that was a pretty good movie. It made me think a lot. And I was like, good for you, man. So that's our best stop for this week. We have been your Midwestern nerds. That's MIDWESTERNERD. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Midwestern Nerds. We are the Midwestern Nerds on Facebook. If you'd like to send us an email, you can send that to MidwesternNerds@gmail.com. You can stream and listen to our podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Please remember to rate and review, share and subscribe, be kind, please rewind. All of these things help this podcast to continue to improve and grow and be the Midwestern Nerds podcast that you, the listener, want to listen to. Next week, we will be doing an episode. We'll just leave it at that. We might do some MCU talk. We might do Phase 4 breakdown. We might do end of the year wrap-up stuff. With it being the end of the year, with it being the holidays time, we might just give you some short, sweet, little fun episodes like this Christmas episode. And jump into our main stuff next year in 2023. But until then, I have been your host, Brian Stoffel.
And I've been K.O. Kyle Olson.
And whether it's Beer Brats Comics or
Turbo Man Dolls,
keep it.